All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we are going to be talking about a subject that might get a few comments going back and forth.
People a little fired up.
A little fired up. It's called catch and release. Thoughts on it? So we're going to go into this. We're not really taking a stance. We're just going to kind of give you what we do and some comments that we've seen back and forth. We've had people ask us, hey, what do you guys think about this? So we said, why not? Let's just talk about it, get it out there, get people's perspective on when it's good to keep fish, when it's if it's not at all, says the different species, the amounts. I mean, there's so much that we could talk about this forever. We're just gonna do a regular podcast on this. It's not a next level one. So we're gonna talk about it, and we really want the listeners to interact because this is something. These are your lakes, right? So we really want people to interact with this.
And when we post it, let's keep it as civil a conversation. You know what I mean? Because I have seen these poor guys that come out and they get excited, let's say, and you can tell it's the guys that go out and they may get, let's say, two or three good catches a year. And they come up and they post it onto some page and they just get destroyed. First off, it's on a stringer. And people are like, whoa, it's on a stringer. They didn't let it go. And then it's a picture in their kitchen. Now you know the bad boy got chopped up. So, you know, and then all of a sudden, boy, the slaying just starts. And I can always tell because you look at, like, say, on Facebook how many comments there are, or Instagram, and if there's, like, 95, 110 comments on a guy who's showing a, let's say, three or four largemouth, boy, oh, boy, you know they were out and the guy got crucified.
Did you just say largemouth? Largemouth bass?
Largemouth bass. I mean, that is, you know, taboo and everything else for a lot of people, but it's part of the discussion, and I think, you know, as everybody probably knows by now, and if this is your first time hearing us, we do a lot of walleye fishing, but we also catch a lot of bass. We don't talk about it as much, but we catch a ton of smallmouth and largemouth for that matter, mm-hmm. especially
catfish a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we catch a lot of different species. Some lakes, Lake McConaughey, where you can go out trolling for crankbaits, you know, trolling crankbaits for walleyes, and you'll catch 50 catfish in the same day.
Meow.
You know,
meow.
You know, I mean, it's do you keep those? Do you know? I know some people like to keep catfish. I personally, and we'll go on record, so I'll be out of the fray as far as getting destroyed. I don't like fish, so I love catching them, and I throw everyone.
You don't like
back.
Eating fish.
I don't like eating fish. I catch them. I mean, I will keep some every once in a while for somebody that asks me, like, you know, my mother-in-law or somebody, hey, will you keep a fish or two? But I just don't.
Yeah, is it really you don't like to eat them, or you just don't like the guts and the blood?
No,
it's
like
so scary.
Yeah. Oh, makes me puke.
No, I don't. You know, it's funny.
How do you not like walleye?
Because I'll tell you, there's a couple reasons. One is
I don't want to know.
No, you asked. You're gonna
never
get
mind.
It.
Just give me one reason.
I don't like the texture of fish. I just don't like the way it, you know, just feels in your mouth. And then the other,
Anyway, keep going.
Grinning toolbox. But then the other thing was, you know, when I was a kid and I was probably, I don't know, 9 years old or whatever it was, 10 years old.
Fishbone?
No.
Okay.
When my parents got a divorce, my dad survived on walleye. So we would go down to the reservoir every other night, or you know, I mean, in the nicer weather, we'd go down almost every night, and we would go down.
That was
right
dinner.
At dark, and that was dinner, and that was dinner for not only that night, but we would freeze. So we'd only keep a couple, two or three, and then we would, you know, put it in and freeze it, and then he would eat it for that week, and then we would go down and do it the same thing. And I mean, that is what. You know, between cereal and walleye, I just couldn't do it anymore. That was it. I was done.
Cereal sounds like a pretty good life.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
You know, yeah, not bad. Not bad for early, you know, late 80s.
You could put walleye in cereal.
Yeah. Get it done. So heck of those bananas.
It was just one of those things where it just, I don't know. I can't do it. Can't do it. But I don't. It's not just walleye. I don't like any seafood. You know, I just that fishy, that kind of soft, flaky texture, I'm out.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I like it. But here's the deal. I really enjoy walleye. And here's the thing. We've been catching them. You know, I don't really care for bass. I like crappie. That's okay. I like perch. But so I'm just going to stay to the walleye.
Did you pike?
Delicious.
Yeah, I'll do
the Minnesota boy. Yeah, jumps right in there.
Everybody knows it.
I like eating northerns too, but you just have to prepare them a little bit different with the Y bone and stuff. But you know, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
But
how about muskie? I've never even seen anybody keep a muskie. But
no, I've never. I don't know if I've ever eaten one.
And you know, usually when you see all these debates online. I've never seen a muskie enter the debate. Like, oh, you get that? What the hell? You know, I've never seen anybody. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, most everybody kicks them loose.
So typically, I mean, if you guys have listened to our podcasts in the past, or if you're new to us, listen to the other ones. But we get out on the water quite a bit, you know. God bless our families for letting us go fishing so much.
Well, we take them too.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. You know. But
they like to eat them.
Well, they don't like to go out as much as us, so it's like pulling teeth to get them to go out. You know, they'll go out 10, 12 times with me during the year, but not all 50.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But so let's say we usually average about 50 times out on the water, you know, when it's open water. Now, that's not including ice fishing. That's a whole other thing.
Pretty convenient. Matches his age.
Yeah.
He's like, I can remember how many times I went this year.
Yes, it's easy.
He's going to go more every year.
Yeah, yeah. I went 51 later.
Yeah, you'll get there, young man. But anyway, so I don't know, catch several hundred walleye a year. And I'll probably keep maybe a dozen out of the year. And it's usually because me and Mitch, our families are pretty close. We always do a summer walleye fry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that will be where I'll keep 4 or 5 and Mitch will keep 4 or 5. And then we have the whole family together.
That's a ton. I mean, like when you start thinking about it, like, here a lot of our size limits are 18 and above.
Yeah.
So you have to be 18 inches or above to keep, you know, 4 or 5 18 inch walleye. You can feed a couple of families on just 4, 5, 6 of them, you know.
Yeah,
so.
We do. We have a big walleye fry, and it's kind of a tradition that we have, and it keeps the families are really close, so it's a fun deal. Mm-hmm. But I would think catch and release, to get into that subject, I would say we're probably 99% release. I mean, we release
even higher than that. It's probably 99.8.
Yeah,
you know?
We release a lot, and it's not because I'm a big release fan. It's because I take what I know I'm going to eat.
Right.
I don't have a freezer full. Like at the end of the year, just before it starts getting ice fishing, more fishing out, in the evenings and stuff, I'll probably keep 2 or 3 at the end of the season so I can have it in the winter.
Sure.
You know, I'll freeze that. But we usually have 1 or 2 days of, like, we'll keep 1 or 2. Because if you hook one that he's going to bleed out, you know, you get one that's in the gills, we're going to keep that, and sure, I'm going to eat it, because I'm not going to just throw it back to it because it's going to die.
Right.
So we get a handful of those a year, but then we purposely keep it for a walleye fry. So I'll have a handful of those and then a couple at the end of the season because I want it during the winter, you know, when it's harder to get the walleye. But as far as releasing them, I would say most fish we release.
Yeah.
And it's not for one reason or other, but other than it's what we consume. It's what we
take.
You
know, I don't have a problem keeping some fish. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I used to keep a lot more, I think, than I do now. Mm-hmm.
So did I. A lot more.
Yeah.
Well, but think about it, though. And I think that's a great point. It was different back when we were younger. I mean, everybody kept fish. To me, that was the standard when I was a kid. Can we keep it? I mean, every time you caught a fish, can I keep it? I mean, I don't even know if I don't remember all the different species that we kept. I'm sure they were not the best species, some of them.
He doesn't like fish. Those suckers.
Yeah,
texture.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, it was terrible. Those carp were a little rough.
Carp are
But you know, I'm sure there were bluegill and sunnies and stuff that we probably kept.
Those are delicious.
I'm sure we took them home. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they probably ended up in the garden, you know, rather than on the table because they were either so small or, you know, I mean, whatever. You just don't know.
You were a kid. You don't know.
I was a kid. And the standard was to keep it. You would bawl if you threw it back because how dare you? I just caught that. So go ahead. Sorry, but you're right. I think it was different when we were younger.
You're exactly right. I think that was part of fishing, was keeping them, cleaning them, eating them. Now that I'm older, it's, you know, it's more catching them. That's of course. Yeah. What I love about catch and release is seeing pictures like on Facebook and stuff where these dudes caught a fish maybe 2 years ago, big muskie, and you know it's got a very obvious identifying fin or markings or something.
Or it's tagged.
Sure enough. 2 years later, the same dude caught the same fish, or somebody else caught
that cool.
fish.
That's cool.
Yeah. I love that. That is, to me, what catch and release is all about. It's leaving those fish in there. Right. You know, the more fish are in the system, usually, I mean, you can probably get too many to where it's not healthy. But,
right.
Yeah, it's going to help everybody catch more fish.
Well, that's
yeah.
the disclaimer, right? Here's the disclaimer. None of us are biologists, and we don't – I know there's –
studies out
people
there from
that
DNR.
We know that just love the biologist, and they've got their nose so far up the biologist's butt every time they see him. That's not us. We don't. I can't even tell you who the biologist is for our area. You know, I mean, that's their job. They do their thing. We go by the regulations, and you know what we choose.
Well,
to
and
do
I think they're pretty smart people. They have sure. regulations to keep the lake healthy.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't need their explanation as to you know. I do. We've talked about this a lot with the 18-inch size limit. Do I like the 18-inch size limit? I don't really care. The only time it affects me is if I'm going to fish a Colorado tournament and you catch 100 fish and not one of them are over 18. That tends to be an issue. But for the most part, I could care less it's 18 inches or above. Not only that, I mean, that's just kind of our standard, right? How many keepers did you get? Oh, I got 6 keepers. Did you keep them? No. But, you know, so but do I like that they set it? Not really. I don't, you know, we have a couple lakes here where they have no limit. Or limit of 15, and those lakes are as healthy as the ones where they.
Yeah, so I don't. Like you said, we're not biologists. I have no idea, but it seems like on some of our lakes around here that it's an 18-inch minimum. I want to, and maybe one of our listeners know what the heck, man. I mean, there is a bazillion 17 and a quarter inch fish.
That's the way it always.
Why would the lake be better if you were able to keep one fish over 16? Or two fish over 16 to thin those out. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe leave that. You know, I've talked to some guys, and it's, oh, yeah, that 18-inch, that's right when they start to breed, you know.
That's the most eggs.
For the
yeah.
males
yeah.
specifically. The females are different. The males, that's what they're trying to do is increase the males is what I think.
Right. Well, there's plenty of males running around.
Yeah, well, that seems to be that's all we catch are just a yeah. ton of males on most, you know, especially in the summertime, that early June when fish are just popping. You know, I mean, guys, you can get days where you catch 100 walleyes and all of them are 17, 18-inch males.
So is that a healthy lake? You know what I mean?
Well, it's
fun. It's fun, yeah, but is it healthy? Is that what the biologists are trying to get? And that's one of our listeners is going to know the answer to that question.
And that's not really what we're trying to debate. I think I just wanted to point out that none of us do that. I know guys that just love to point out, I talked to biologist so-and-so, and he said, you know, we don't do that. That's not us. I mean, we do what we think is right, and we follow the law. But I also, none of us are the kind of guys that are going to persecute somebody for following the law. I mean, those standards are set there for a reason. And I think that
it's above why we know.
And if you follow it, I don't see what the big push is to really kind of try to publicly chastise people. And one of the reasons I say that is because
I got a comment on that when you're done. Go ahead.
Well, one of the reasons I say it is because not everybody is at the same ability. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and somebody catches 3 largemouth and you're thinking, oh, you know, those fish would be so much better if you put them back. They're largemouth. Nobody eats bass. They taste terrible. Yeah, but that guy may love bass. He may need them like my dad. Right. I mean, he may need them because that's what we're living off of. And that may be the catch of his year.
He might go out one time, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, and he brings him back, and he is as proud as can be, like I was when I was 8, right? Are we taking him home? Are we cutting him, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't jump on some of these people if you're the guy that goes out and you bass fish and you catch 25 largemouth a day. Well, that to you is a completely different world than what this guy's in.
Yeah.
Same way with the walleye stuff. You know, do I like seeing people keep 9 and 10-pound walleye? Not really. Then I look down in the comments, see they caught them on Erie, and that's all they keep because that's all they catch some days.
Right.
Well, that's what I was going to get at my comment. Yeah. So one of the things, and I don't know why it bothers me, might not be the right word, but I see these coolers full of 8, 9, 10 pounders. I'm like, oh my God, because they don't grow them like that. We have them here, but not to the consistency that an Erie or Michigan has, right? So when I see that, to me, it hurts because I'm like, golly, I mean, look at how many fish those could reproduce. I mean, they're big, healthy fish, but it's a different system.
Right.
So I got to kind of keep myself in check a little bit on that because how many are there? That's well, their
it's
typical.
It's a different standard. Yeah. You're 100% right. It's different. Well, and then you have some lakes, like up in Wyoming, if you go after, I think it's July 1st, if you have a tournament, it's a kill tournament. So every fish you catch that you're going to put in the box, it's a kill tournament. Even if you do that length to weight conversion, still a kill tournament.
Really?
Yeah. So everything you put in the, because here's what they say. They say that, and I haven't seen this personally, so I don't know, but they say that what will happen is if you have a tournament up there, and even if the fish are healthy and you bring them in and you go through the, you know, and you release them, that hours later, by the next morning, there'll be dead walleyes all over the place because they'll go down. And they'll die from being in the box, and that, you know, a lot of it's water temperature.
It's water temperature.
Yeah, it's got to be water temperature.
And they'll say that there'll be dead walleyes everywhere, and, you know, we don't see it because we leave, you know, to go home or whatever.
So to think about that, though, we were tournament weighmasters for 5 years for the CWA, and we weighed hundreds of fish on day one, right? And ours was there was a penalty if you brought in a dead fish. So predominantly, I mean, if we weighed 100 fish, we might have three. Right. That were dead, that you're just like, well, okay, this is a dead fish.
Right.
But we would release them. They would go out into the lake where we're releasing. We had a big chute tube that was water-filled, and then we'd go down into the lake. And when we got there the next morning, we never, ever saw a fish floating.
No.
So yeah. Where are they floating? I mean,
I will say this. I know after one tournament, there were three. They were 18 at least inch walleyes that came out of the chute and they went belly up. And before, you know, a lot of times kids will swim out there and grab them, you know, bring them in. We'll put them back in the holding tank until they're, you know, hopefully they can hold themselves up and we can release them. Well, oh no, right in front of my eyes, I saw this pelican swim up to them and scooped one up, swam over to the other one, scooped up another one, and swam over to the other one. Like in a matter of about 15 seconds. Like, oh, well, maybe that's where all the dead walleyes go.
He couldn't. He tried to lift off, and he was like, no, I can't fly.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the point, right? I mean, listen, if you got a guy who goes out there, and I can tell you I have a walleye on the wall at home, and it was not a replica. Well, the reason it wasn't a replica is because we couldn't get it to go. I sat with that thing in the tank for, God, it must have been, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
You know, you guys were packing up. You're like, we got to go. She would do good in the tank, and the second she went out of the cold oxygen-filled water of the tank into the warmer water of the lake, she went belly up every time. Well, I wasn't going to leave her out there to get picked apart just so I could say I didn't keep her. You know,
that's
my standard was, is I took a lot of pictures, took all the measurements. If she swam off, thank God, right? If she didn't, then she was going on the wall, period. Done deal. And guess what? She went on the wall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's... You know, I see these guys, they bring them in, and they're like, oh, you know, best night of 2020. I've seen a lot of pictures in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're in front of the kitchen sink holding up that fish that you know is 26, 27 inches. And you can just see the comments. You can just hear people sigh as they read it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to keep in mind that, first off, you are right. If there's too many of those fish, it is an issue. And for every one that you keep, there's probably a million out there, right? I mean, think about that. There's some lakes where, you know, we, at our tournament, we keep a Creole count and we all mark off. And,
yeah, we do the same.
You know, and we have a very low mortality rate. Most tournaments, it's none, right? And even the later ones, it's none. And the craziest part about that is, and you know, of course, CPR is one of the better ways, right? Catch, photograph, release. But there's so many fish in the lake. I mean, they will just go shock a very small section and get 100 fish. And you're thinking to yourself, if they got 100 fish in this section and this lake is 25 miles long in one direction and 15 miles wide, how many fish is that going to be?
I know.
You know, and so you got to keep it in perspective.
Well, I know that sometimes looking at the big fish thing, like I said, kind of bothers me. What's too small? So if the fish limit is 15 inch and a guy comes in and he's got his basket of 8 walleye, large, whatever whatever you can have at that lake that are all 15 inches.
Or 12 inches.
Well, that's under legal limit. I mean, you shouldn't be able to keep anything that's under the
legal
limit.
Well, but what if they are? What if there's no lower limit?
Perfect example.
For a long time here, there wasn't.
Well, so when I used to fish up in Gavin's Point, Lake Yankton, up there, when you fish below the dam in the river, there was no size limit. And you would see people just piling in the 13 inches. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean,
but some people
that'll make a sandwich for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly. Fish tacos. But some people are like perfect eater.
I know.
You see the comments, perfect eater. Oh, that's a good eater there.
I know.
And I think to myself, good eater. I said, barely fits in a sardine can. You know, and so, but that is a question.
What's too small?
What's too small? You know, I mean, we all, a lot of people think, you know.
But that's the regulations
eight, seven,
there.
8, 9 pounds too big. But on Erie, they keep coolers of 7, 8, 9, 10 pounders because they have so many big fish, right? So,
do you ever think they're going to run out? I mean, it's like.
I've heard that
the
catching and keeping fish on Erie will not affect the walleye population.
Not one bit.
That just blows me away.
It does.
Even with all the charters and all the captains on there and everything else, they're saying it's actually getting better, that the fishing is actually getting better the more they increase the limits or they keep the bigger fish or whatever.
So anybody that fishes up at Erie, Huron, Michigan, any of that, text us. Or, you know, not text us, but send us an email at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com and give us your thoughts. What is going on up there? What is the feeling up there for the fishermen? Because we go up there very sporadically. We've all been fortunate enough to be able to go fish up there, but not like the guys that live up there.
Right.
And I want to get their two cents on it, because to me, it's like, oh my God, those are a lot of big fish are keeping. But I have heard the same reports, and I don't know if they're accurate or not, but the fishing is getting better.
Well, look at Mille Lacs, Mitch, right?
Mille Lacs is very simple.
Violently passionate over Mille Lacs.
Yes.
And
the walleye meat.
Yeah. and then the treaties they have and all this other stuff. And I understand all that can fire a person up. I mean, I get that, right? You know, especially when you see, I mean, I've heard stories and, like I said, I don't know if
like
they're true, but
nets
of fish and then dead fish. Like, they'll just pile them up and leave them, you know?
And that's a waste. I'm never going to agree with that.
No, and I'm never going to, I don't think any of us would. But the interesting part is, Mille Lacs is, like, the problem is they're too big. They're all over that range where you can't keep any of them. And so people are like, well, I can't keep any fish to eat out of Mille Lacs. Mm-hmm. They're all too big. They're all great fish. You know, and there's tons of them. I mean, everybody that fishes.
Jeez, be careful what you wish for. What a problem to have.
Yeah, right?
They're all too big.
But everybody's saying, you know, there's no small fish in there anymore. And so it's one of those things.
We went up there fishing, and we had a hard time catching unders.
Yeah, where people give well. I mean,
I don't remember, it was 27 or 28 was the overs at that time. They had to be at, let's just say 27. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But in 2 days, we stopped counting at 73 fish between 23 and 26 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. 73 of them. So it's like, oh my God, we couldn't catch small fish. I don't remember what it was. Had to be under 18, maybe? Mm-hmm. Under 18?
Under 17, I think.
Well, see, we couldn't catch them.
Yeah. So explain this to me, and maybe somebody else will write in and explain it to me. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, you know, Ohio, the land of lakes, right? All of them. Mm-hmm. They all have plenty. If Mille Lacs has too big a fish and people are complaining, I can't keep any fish. Why don't you just drive down the road to the lake where you can, right? I mean, go to Mille Lacs, whack the monsters, let them all go, have a great time.
And then
time.
Go to the lake
Take
that's 2
kid.
Miles
yeah,
away.
Go to the one that's 2 miles up the road and go catch your 18 inches and fill your freezer. I mean, I'm just like, for us to have that option would be amazing.
Right.
You know, they're like, I can't keep any fish, this damn Mille Lacs, those DNR guys suck. And I'm thinking to myself, well, just 2 miles left or right, you're going to go get your fish. You know, hell, it's probably on the same waterway.
You know, talking about Erie, talking about some of our lakes, like we've got a couple of walleye lakes here in Denver that are right in the metro. Yeah. We're talking pressured. As soon as these fish hit 18 inches, they're going in the box, usually, right? And probably quite a few that are shorts that no one sees. But, you know, comparing Erie to our metro lakes, compared to Mille Lacs, you know, every system's different. And that's kind of where, how I look at catch and release. It's kind of like, sure, it's 55 miles an hour posted speed limit on the highway. But really, you can only drive it to where you can maintain your safety.
Yeah. If, right? if it's an ice storm.
Yeah. Slow it down a bit.
Right.
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 So if it's a highly pressured lake like here in Denver, yeah, maybe be a little more selective on what you're keeping.
Yeah,
so
I agree with
Mille Lacs,
you.
Mille Lacs, Erie, you know, it's all different
species, not just, I mean, we predominantly fish for walleye, but it's got a lot of good trout in it. It's got a lot of good smallmouth fishing out there is unbelievable, right? And we do the same with that as far as a smallmouth. I've never kept a smallmouth, but there's guys that do, and it's okay. I think it's okay as long as it's within check. You know, especially if the fish, The thing that I think is if guys, if they catch a fish that they know is struggling, that's not going to make it, make something out of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, yeah. That's what we kind of do.
I, you know what? And the ones where I do have a hard time are the ones who keep shorts. I am
on board with you on that.
Go bananas. And that's where I will flip out. And I remember very distinctly one of our lakes that's one of our better fisheries and down in Pueblo. And you guys maybe remember this because I think you guys heard. I mean, I was ready to let's duke it out in the parking lot. Let's go. A couple guys, you know, they got this torn down boat and they're drunk off their ass and they've got a whole stringer full of walleyes, and it's easy to tell that every one of them is under. Not only is it under, but they have too many. So even if they were all over, they still had too many.
I remember they had like 20.
Yeah, and it was just insane. And they're trying to tell all of us who, and I mean, that's one of those tournaments, like I said, where we went out there and caught probably 70 fish a day and couldn't get one over 18 inches. Mm-hmm. And these guys roll up with this stringer and they're trying to convince all of us that every one of these fish is over 18 inches. And I was like, you're a liar. You're just a flat out, to me, you're just a flat out liar, right? Like,
yeah, I think we can all jump on board that short fish is not cool.
No, no. I mean,
maybe you know where the line is where it's legal.
Right.
So, hey, we're in America. You know, these laws are set for us to follow. And up to that point, it's freedom, baby.
Right.
You know, so, hey, if you choose to keep your limit of fish every single day, that's your choice. That's where I stand.
Right.
You know, hey. But if you can take into account, you know, different factors and stuff like that, I think that's awesome too. But I'm not going to be the one to sit here and preach how you need to release every single fish. No, that's not my place to call that.
Well, and they set the limits for a reason, and they know people are going to keep them. So they know they're going to keep them, and in most circumstances, according to what I've heard, is it helps. It helps thin it out. It's less competition. The fish can grow bigger. The bait can reestablish. I think what we see in the Denver metro area lakes is we get a lot of those smaller fish, and they just destroy the bait population. And so the bait never recovers. And so they don't really get a chance to start growing bigger because now they've decimated the shad, and they're starting to try to grow big on crayfish. Well, crayfish is a terrible source of food for walleye. So, but that's all they have to eat. And so, you know, it just goes from there. Yep. And that's where I see that being an issue. But you know what? I mean, hey, if we need to start thinning them out, start thinning them out. I mean, one of the lakes we have here, they took off the – because there were so many of those fish that were small.
Up north,
they took off the size limit. There's no restriction. I mean, the fish – I don't know how many people catch because it's tough catching walleyes in this lake. But when you do catch them, they are just thick and big. And
they got shoulders
just
on them.
Just great walleyes, no matter where you are. No matter what – you know, no matter what part of the country, these fish would compete. And, you know, I mean, I think that's part of the whole thing. But I think the important thing to keep in mind when we talk about this debate is, for the most part, we release everything.
Yep.
I mean, 99.9% of the time. And there's those, you know, there's few instances where you keep them for this or that.
I know before that you've caught fish that are hooked bad or something. You've called us. Hey, dude, I got a fish that's bad. Yeah, okay.
Yes, we'll take it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what I'll do is I'll be like, all right, I'll keep it, you know. And I'll, like you said, I mean, you can throw it out there and let nature take care of it. Or you can take it like you're allowed by law, and I don't need to be guilted. And, you know, even if it's 24, how many times have we caught a 24 where it's hooked bad some way or another, right? And, yeah, it's a 24. Would I kick it loose? Yeah, like 100 out of 100 I'd kick loose. But if it's bad and it's going to die, I'm not going to let it float in the lake.
Nope, I agree.
Sorry.
This is one of those things we could probably talk on forever, and I'm sure we're going to spur up some comments on this, which is great because this is a debate that there's no right answer. It's what you think is right. Like, I only take what we're going to eat, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some guys, like when you were growing up, they took it because you needed it.
Right.
And there's some guys by law that they take it because they can. So, and then there's some that are 100% you release everything.
Yep.
So there's no real right or wrong. It's what it's just a good debate to have. So I think we should wrap it up. You know, from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, I hope this has been a pretty good podcast for you. Go back and listen to some of our older episodes. We have a bunch of them out there. And check out our website at alleyesonfishing.com. We have a lot of gear out there, some good blogs. We have some YouTube videos that you can link up to, watch how to get you to your next level. We also have a next level podcast that we really dive deep. They're hour plus long podcasts that we really dive deep into what has made us successful, some things that we've learned.
Yep. Yep, and as soon as we can get it figured out, we're going to start doing interviews. And we're not going to do the interviews where we interview, you know, we try to get Kvyas and Parsons, even though that'd be kind of fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. We're going to talk to fishermen.
If they're listening to us and they want to, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll make an exception. But, but I mean, my point is it's not going to be, you know, the same ones that you. We're going to talk to fishermen. I mean,
yeah.
You have a lot of good fishermen that are sitting in the boat right next to you, and you may not even know it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I have learned, I think, maybe through the tournament stuff like we talk about in the next level. That there's a lot of great fishermen.
There's a lot of good
and,
guys.
There's sure a lot of good is. Info. A lot of good info that's sitting, you know, at the house next to you. And mm-hmm. So that's what we'll.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. Check us out on the next level and make sure you're follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We appreciate it, guys. Have a great night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.